कुंजा बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन। जमुना चिरा मनचारी। जय राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी। जय राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी। जय विष्णु परमहंस परिव्राज श्री श्रीमान श्रील प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमा भागवताम की गौरीनंदी अगौरी अगौरी श्री श्री गुरु गौरंग ओ मज्ञानतिरांदनांजन शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलिताम् येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामायं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यरेव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरी गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ओ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। विकर्षितं च हृदयात् दासीपथं अजामिलम् यमप्रेष्यान् विष्णुधूता वारयाम् आसुरोजसा। विकर्षितं त हृदया दासीपथमजामिलम् यमप्रेक्षान् विष्णुजुता वरायम् असुरोजसा। विकांशितं त हृदयात् नसीपतिम् अजामिवम् यमप्रेक्षान् विष्णुजुता वरायम् असुरोजसा। विकर्षिता, snatching, antahridayat, from within the heart, dasipatim, the husband of the prostitute, ajamilam, ajamila, yamapreshyan, the messengers of Yamaraj, Vishnuduta, the order carriers of Lord Vishnu. Varayam Asu forbade. Ojasa with resounding voices. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation, the order carriers of Yamaraj were snatching the soul from the core of the heart of Ajamila, the husband of the prostitute. But with resounding voices, the messengers of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnu Dutas, forbade them to do so. Purport, a Vaishnava, one who has surrendered to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, is always protected by Lord Vishnu's order carriers. Because Ajamila had chanted the holy name of Narayana, the Vishnu Dutas not only immediately arrived on the spot, but also at once ordered the Yamadutas not to touch him. By speaking with resounding voices, the Vishnu Dutas threatened to punish the Yamadutas if they continued trying to snatch Ajamila's soul from his heart. The order carriers of Yamaraj have jurisdiction over all sinful living entities, but the messengers of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnu Dutas, are capable of punishing anyone, including Yamaraj, if he wrongs a Vaishnava. Materialistic scientists do not know where to find the soul within the body with their material instruments, but this verse clearly explains that the soul is within the core of the heart, Hridaya. It is from the heart that the Yamadutas were extracting the soul of Ajamila. Similarly, we learn that the super soul, Lord Vishnu, is also situated within the heart, Ishvara Sarvabhuta Nam Hridishe Arjuna Tishtati. In the Upanishads, it is said that the super soul and the individual soul are living in the same tree of the body as two friendly birds. The super soul is said to be friendly because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind to the original soul that when the original soul transmigrates from one body to another, the Lord goes with him. Furthermore, according to the desire and karma of the individual soul, the Lord, through the agency of Maya, creates another body for him. The heart of the body is a mechanical arrangement, as Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse 61. Ishvara sarvabhuta nam hridishe arjuna tishtati. Brahmayan sarvabhutani yantrarhudhani mayaya. Quote, the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. End quote. Yantra means a machine such as an automobile. The driver of the machine of the body is the individual soul, who is also its director or proprietor, but the supreme proprietor is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One's body is created through the agency of Maya, Karmana, Daiva, Netrena, and according to one's activities in this life, another vehicle is created again under the supervision of Daivi Maya. Daivi Hesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Dharatya. At the appropriate time, one's next body is immediately chosen, and both the individual soul and the super soul transfer to that particular body machine, bodily machine. This is the process of transmigration. During transmigration from one body to the next, the soul is taken away by the order carriers of Yamaraj and put into a particular type of hellish life, Naraka, in order to become accustomed to the condition in which he will live in his next body. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So Parashar Maharaj had inquired how someone can be saved from going to hell. Sukadeva Goswami finally gave that by bhakti, even if performed one time with sincerity, can save a person from seeing the Yamadutas even in their dreams, what to speak of going to hell. And then they give an example of the potency of bhakti, the story of Ajamila is told by Sukadeva Goswami. So that's what we're hearing. We're still in the section where we're hearing the story of Ajamila, which is a story to demonstrate the power of bhakti. And in particular, bhakti characterized by chanting the holy names of Krishna. So our attention is being drawn to the holy names of Krishna. So the Yamadutas had come to tear the soul from the body, which was called as Ajamila. So Prabhupada's spending a long time on this word, antar hridaya, that the soul is located in the heart, or in the region of the heart, it is also sometimes said. The body is compared to a tree, And naturally, there are two birds, namely the individual soul, and then the super soul is also present. The individual soul is said to be trying to enjoy the fruits of the tree. So he's trying to enjoy the body, in other words. And the super soul is just a witnessing bird. Upadrashta Anumanta, Krishna says he's the overseer and the permitter. So he's seeing what the conditioned souls are doing, and he's impartially permitting certain activities to take place according to the karmas of those various jivas. So the one soul, us, inside the body is trying to enjoy the body. And through trying to enjoy the body, we develop certain desires. And at the end of our lives, according to the accumulation of the types of desires we've cultivated through our life, and also combined with the reactions we have for our activities in this life, then Krishna, as a super soul, through the agency and the material energy, generates another body for us to inhabit, by which we can continue to try to fulfill our endless desires for happiness in the material world. So the material energy can be compared to like a car dealership. It's like you would go to a car dealership, and there'd be so many types of cars there. And according to how much money you have, you can buy a certain car. You can't buy any car you want. Like with some of us, with the type of money we have, we couldn't go to like a BMW car dealership. We have to go to another type of car dealership, maybe Toyota. According to the type of money you have, you can purchase a certain type of car. So similarly, according to our desires and also the reactions of our activities, then we deserve a certain type of body, which Maya will give to us. Ultimately, it's Super Soul who is giving us that body through the agency of Maya. So in this way, the soul is enjoying or suffering the material world. And it's hard for him to get out of this situation because Daiviyesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Dharatiya, because the material energy keeps the soul sufficiently distracted by these desires. Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita, Itra Dvesha Samutena Dwanda Mohena Padrata Sarva Bhutani Sam Moham Sarge Yanti Parantapa. So Krishna says that all the living entities are born in this world completely bewildered. Sam Moham means completely. Moham means bewildered. So all living entities are born completely bewildered. What are they bewildered by? Dwanda Mohena, the bewilderment of duality in the form of the Itra Dvesha Samutena, the impressions of desire and hate that they've cultivated from previous lives. So as we're living our life, we develop desires for enjoyment and avoidance of suffering in previous bodies. And then we're carrying those impressions in our subtle body to our next life. And in that way, in our next body, we're completely absorbed in those same types of impressions of duality from our previous existence. And this way, no one can know Krishna. Mam tu vidya na kashchana. Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita. Vartamanani. What is that? How does it go? Charjuna. How does that verse start? Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna. Bhavishani chabutani. Mam tu vidya na kashchana. Krishna says, I know everyone, but me no one knows. And why is it that no one knows Krishna? Why isn't anyone of the super soul who is also situated in the heart? Why doesn't the individual soul also know the super soul who's his friend? Prabhupada points out here, he's a friend because he travels with him to each and every body. So how come one does not know his friend, the super soul? Huh? Yeah, because he's absorbed in the Dwanda Moha Samutena. Oh, he has spoken nicely to me. He is my friend. Oh, he is looking at me funny. He is my enemy. Why is he looking at me that way? He must be an enemy. Like that, we are thinking all the time. Why is that? Why is he looking at me like that? What's his problem? Why are we instead of chanting japa, thinking of holy name, we're thinking, why Prabhu is looking at me like that? What's his problem? He's not even looking at you, actually spacing out. He actually is looking at the clock and just spacing out. But you having to turn around when he's in looking at you. Why is he looking at me like this? For example, one is thinking this way, Dwanda Mohena. So he's bewildered by these things, Itra Dvesha Samutena. Sarvabhutani Sammoham, completely bewildered by this absorption duality, therefore he cannot know Krishna. Because instead of thinking of Krishna, he's thinking of these things. So, in this way, we transmigrate from one body to another. So that's the Antarhidaya point. So then, Yama Preshan Vishnu. So then, the Yamadutas at the time of transmigration, for those living entities who are sinful, the Yamadutas will take the soul along with his subtle body out of the gross material body and bring him to a hellish environment. In that hellish environment, he actually becomes accustomed to living in various sorts of animal bodies and so on. So that's the last sentence of the purport, that the Yamadutas will take him to a certain hellish life, and in that hellish planet, he will become accustomed to a certain type of hellish existence. So for example, you will live in hell for so many thousands of years, eating stool. So then when you get a hog body, that is not a problem. That is very nice. What is the difficulty? What is the problem? Because you've been eating stool for thousands of years in hellish planets. So then you get a hog's body. You think, what is the problem? This is good body. That is the way you think. So you get trained up to get accustomed to any environment. The soul can be more or less adjusted to anything. He can find ananda in anything, practically speaking, because his nature is such. So that's what happens at the time of death for those sinful living entities. So as the Yamadutas were snatching the soul, along with the subtle body, from the body of he who was called Ajamil, then the Vishnudutas came to rescue him. So Prabhupada, in the first paragraph, glorifies the position of one who is even once surrendered to Krishna. One reason we discussed earlier that the path of bhakti is free from fear, and one reason it's free from fear is because of the support of Vaishnavas, who are always there to give support to the soul. And other paths, particularly the path of Gyan and Ashtanga Yoga, then those paths are usually taken up by oneself. There isn't the concept of sadhu sangha is not an underscore in those processes. In fact, what is underscored is isolation and solitude. Therefore, what we see, what is called yoga in the modern cities, is just completely a joke, because you were supposed to go to the forest, first of all, and live in isolation, which can only be done if you had a certain level of realization, the realization of the soul being different from body. Not that you go to the yoga studios in a leotard in a busy city with 50 other people in the class and you meditate. That's not really the process. So those other processes, if followed correctly, are full of fear because you're in isolation practicing. And if any issue shall come up in the practice, then where is the support? Then you're finished. But in bhakti, the path is called as akutobhaya, free from fear, because at this point, Vaishnavas will give support. Nice verses there from the Bhagavatam. Umajatam, umagya, umajatam kore bhavadho paramayanayam, santo brahmavida shanta, nordridevapsu majatam. Srimad Bhagavatam says the souls in this world, umagya, umajatam, means the souls are always rising and falling. Understand? The souls are always rising and falling. Gore bhava means the scary ocean of material existence, isn't it? Material existence compared to ocean, very scary ocean. And just like if you're in the ocean, if you're standing in the middle of the ocean, a bottomless ocean, how scary it will be. So many dangerous aquatics will be there, and storms are coming, waves are making you go up, sometimes going down under, very scary situation. So material world is like that. The souls are constantly rising and falling in this material world, gore bhava. So it's compared to a frightful ocean. And paramanaya means if they take shelter, santo brahmavida shanta of the santa means the devotees who are peacefully situated in absolute knowledge. Then that is compared to a strong boat that comes to one's rescue just at the point of drowning. Just like if you're just at the point of just giving up, I'll just finish it, just whatever. Then at that time, the devotees come to the rescue. So this is why the path of bhakti is also considered free from fear, because of the support of Vaishnavas. So here, he was at the point of drowning, going to hell, and the Vishnudutas came to the rescue, and they said, do not take him. And because they said it with such a resounding voice, it implied that if you do take him, I'm going to beat you. The Prabhupada says that. They said it with a resounding voice. Ojasa. Ojasa means, you know, part of that deep, thunderous voice. Sometimes, like, if you want to, you know, we used to have this expression growing up that someone was like angry, they would get loud, you know? I said, why are you getting loud? Because you knew that by that getting loud, they were going to do something aggressive, you know? So similarly, the Vishnudutas became loud, ojasa, with great force. And so the Yamadutas stopped. Wait a minute. Because they couldn't understand that if we take him, we'll be beaten. And that way, a Bhagavat class is going to take place in front of Ajamil, which will determine his fate. So he was very attentive. He wasn't sleeping that time because he knew, I don't want to miss this conclusion of the discussion because conclusion is very important for me. Any questions? That's the purport. This Prabhupada's purport, yeah.
How we can understand that he's situated in the heart, is situated in this particular portion of matter?
Yeah, the answer is the super soul. That is the simple answer. People don't believe in God, then there is no way to answer that. But if they can accept in theory that there could be a God, then Krishna speaks about this in chapter 7 of Bhagavad Gita, when he speaks first about the material energy, bhumir punalo vayu, kam, he speaks about the material world. Then he says, "Aparayamitas." This is an inferior energy. And then there's a superior energy. To anyam pakriti vidime param. You should know this energy to be superior. Jiva bhuta mahabhava. That is the jiva. And then he says, "Eta yonini bhutani." What is that? "Eta yonini bhutani sarva nityu padharaya aham krishnasa jagata prabhava palayas." Then he says, "I'm the source of both." So in other words, the ability for these two energies to interact with each other is because they have the same source. The same source is actually the super soul. So that's how the conditioned jivas are able to have an interaction with Maya. It's facilitated through the super soul, who's the source of both Maya and the conditioned jiva. yes. So that's the basic answer. That was Bhagavad Gita verses 7:4-6.
What if the conditioned soul commits suicide?
Well, that's not very nice. What if a conditioned soul, what if someone commits suicide? Well, of course the soul can't commit suicide. So it must be a real shocker when you know, off the body and then you realize you're still alive. That must really suck. You could. The misery is so much, you just decide, let me just off myself, and you kill yourself. And then you're looking at your body, and you're like, damn, I'm still alive. That must really suck. Therefore, spiritual knowledge is very important. You can't off yourself, unfortunately. Or fortunately, for those types of souls, they can't actually commit suicide. So for someone who forcibly separates the soul from the body due to whatever reason, it is described that they may have to reside in ghostly bodies for some time, in which they suffer because having a subtle body, you have all the impressions of enjoyment still situated in your subtle body, but you don't have a gross body to give expression to that. So that's very frustrating. You want to enjoy like anything, but you can't. So therefore, ghosts usually, even in the material world, when people have experience with ghosts, they usually create animosity in people's lives and difficulty because they're actually miserable in that condition because they have desire to enjoy but they can't. That's how we hear. Someone has to reside in a ghostly form for some time. So it's not very good.
I was wondering if you could speak a little bit about the nature of this protection, because at least for myself and the conditioned perspective, we think that when the Lord will protect us, it means we never have to undergo a bad experience. But that's not really the case. We see that actually...
This whole idea of good and bad is all illusory. That's the first thing that we don't want to understand. That there is no good and bad. It's all good or it's all bad, depending on where you're at in your consciousness. The only reason that someone thinks that there's good and bad is because of the influence of avidya, ignorance. I mean, I'm speaking strictly in terms of conditioned life. So something enjoyable comes up and he says, this is very good, this is very good. And then some enjoyment is destroyed and he says, this is very bad. But that's all illusion. Because it's all insubstantial like a dream. So, you know, the protection, you know, has to be from the illusion that there is a good and bad. Anyway, Krishna's protection is, as we often hear, of the consciousness or... his protection is from, we can say it in this way, his protection is to prevent us from getting more and more absorbed in the dvanda moha, the bewilderment of duality. So because we have that tendency to get absorbed in the dwanda moha, Krishna's protection comes by creating obstacles, hundreds and thousands of obstacles in our ability to enjoy material nature. And then by such frustration, we're protected from going towards Maya. And we say, to hell with it, I'm going towards Krishna. Because otherwise we're thinking, like I was saying yesterday, we're walking towards Krishna, but looking back. And it still looks nice. I mean, I know it's not good, it's Maya, but it looks, what is the big deal? You know, why are devotees so fanatical? They need to have a balanced approach to life. Balance, they're so imbalanced. Everything is negative for them. Like Prabhupada was saying, and he'll say in the sixth canto, you know, devotees, we say no to this, no to that, no to this. Now, how with so many no's life can be positive? If so many no's are there, how can life be positive? But we need a little bit more balance. And Maya's thinking, yes. Maya's telling, yes, balanced approach. Go for a little enjoyment also. After all, Krishna says you should be regulated in your recreation, eating, sleeping. And that way, yoga bhavati dukkha, you'll be free from suffering. So, and that way, we're always thinking. So then Krishna creates hundreds and thousands of obstacles in our attempts. And that way, we're protected from going towards Maya. So a lot of things, a lot of this frustration comes up because we don't hear. This is the main problem. If you read this essay, I've been mentioning it to you, false, genuine and false Gaur Bhajan. I was mentioning this the other day. It's a very nice essay by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Classic, uncompromising, slap in the face, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's essays tend to be. And he speaks about this very same principle, that Lord Chaitanya shows mercy by putting hundreds of millions of obstacles in my attempt to enjoy. And then he explains in that essay that the reason we don't understand this is because we don't hear. I was describing to, who was I talking to after class yesterday? I think Derek. And I was saying that actually what happens is the speaker speaks and the vibrations are coming our direction. And then the modes of nature, like, blocking everything, you know, like a martial artist or something, preventing all the sound vibrations from entering the heart. So we just sit there like this, but nothing actually is reaching the heart because the gunas are like, stopping all the sound vibrations from coming into the heart. You know, a little mode of goodness comes and blocks us sometimes, a little ignorance, a little passion. And that way none of the sound vibrations come in. And that way we can understand these things. We can understand that there is no good and bad in the material world. Because the modes of nature is not allowing us to understand, in a sense. And we're not determined enough to really try to hear the message, try to understand it, and so on. So therefore, these types of things will keep accosting us, good and bad, why this is happening. We become, we become miserable persons by such absorption. But if we can understand what the material nature is to the hearing process, then you become happy. Happy means you become content. It is how it is going to be. Nothing can be done. We chant Hare Krishna. Our Thakur Guru wants to say.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bhav.
When Krishna favors like a potential devotee, he puts a lot of obstacles in the way, right?
Sure. Yeah. Why not? Yeah.
When you came back from India, you shared something that happened in Chaupati, and I thought it related nicely to this point you made in class today, and maybe the other devotees would also like to hear this point about how the path of bhakti is a kutobaya because of the support that one gets from devotees. And you were mentioning how in Chaupati you raised the question, what if you have difficulties in your devotee association, devotee interaction, then that very thing that is supposed to be your main support, you're not able to take support from, but what to do in such a situation?
Well, it's not like we'll be able to take support necessarily from everyone and everything that has tilak on. But you'll find someone devotee. Oftentimes we, because of our neophyte consciousness, and also maybe because of impressions of bad experiences in the material world, we have difficulty trusting devotees or whatever, by which we feel that there is no shelter there. We may have an experience or an impression of devotees being judgmental, overly critical, like that, and that makes it harder for us to take shelter. So although shelter may be readily available, we don't take it because of these impressions make it difficult. That comes up for sure. And oftentimes, even if we have good shelters, you know, Krishna may create obstacles in those relationships so that we can improve our shelter taking of him also. Although it is true that by taking shelter of Vaishnavas, that is also taking shelter of Krishna, because our conception of Vaishnavas tends to be materialistic, so also our shelter taking also tends to be materialistic or influenced by materialistic impressions. So we, more than taking shelter of Vaishnavas, we're just like taking shelter of the feel-good experience that comes from Vaishnavas telling us what we want to hear, or you know, or pacifying us in terms of our psychophysical attachments. You know, because sometimes we don't want to hear the real thing. You know, we find sometimes the words of sadhus very cutting and so on. Just like oftentimes when we hear Srila Bhaktisiddhanta speaks in a very apparently harsh way, or even Srila Prabhupada, we often hear that we can't imitate them because, you know, we're not Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, we're not Srila Prabhupada. But it may not be imitation. Devotee may be genuine, just sadhu. He's just saying straight talk, like a Bhagavatam or something. He just says something very straight, but it's taken in a very harsh way because we're really attached to our subtle bodies and we don't appreciate that. So then even our shelter taking and Vaishnavas may not be on a real deep, genuine platform. We only want to hear what we want to hear, what will pacify our psychology temporarily and so on. So Krishna may create some obstacle in that, just to either help us reevaluate our conception of what are we really taking shelter of. Are we really taking shelter of Vaishnavas, or are we taking shelter of something else, like what feels good for my subtle body? Or he may create a situation where we have to really take shelter of Vaishnavas internally by following their instructions. So he creates a situation of separation by which we are forced to really take shelter of him and the devotees through their instructions. In that way, there's various things that can come up. Is there any other point? Question? Comments? No? Okay, then we'll finish here today. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Thank you.